What's everyone? We're back. We're back. Another episode of Boss Locks. This one's actually kind of special in a way that, not like special, like this is my favorite child, but special in the sense that this is part of the whole reactivation campaign of the podcast. But this is also a teaser for a new show I'm about to launch called Working While Black. It's a special series to me. It's really an evolution of this podcast. I shouldn't say evolution, like this thing is a dinosaur. It's not a spinoff either, like don't care about it either. But it's really just like a special show that kind of focuses in on the professionalism aspect of things, career growth, exploring entrepreneurship, whether you're trying to build an empire, just still a little side hustle to get some additional income. A lot of great stories, a lot of cheat codes, how to use tools like LinkedIn or social media to build your brand up and all that stuff. But it's really focused on the pursuit of wealth through employment and entrepreneurship as well. So I'm excited to launch it. It's going to be a lot of activity around this. This podcast here is definitely staying here. It's here forever. This is kind of like almost look at it as like art or really just those conversations that are important about community growth. And still providing resources as well. And one of those resources actually is this book called Black Buck. I was speaking with a guest today about it, and she was just talking about her experience in the sales role. I was like, you gotta read this book. And she actually went and read it like within a week. I was like, what the hell? She said I finished. I was like, how? What does that mean? It took a long time to finish it, not because it's not good, because I take a long time to read. So we're gonna get into all that today. Gonna talk to you about this other resource, this tool I've been using called Magic Mind. They're sponsoring today's episode as this energy shot. I'm excited about it. And yeah, let's get into it. Naya, how you doing? How you feeling? Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm good. I am so excited to talk about this book. It was so funny when you told me about the book. Just because I was like expressing some of the things I was going through, and you're like, this is the perfect book. I think you're right. That's why I like being listened to the book. It's really good.
Yeah, man. Yeah, this book is Black Buck, and we'll get more into it a little bit, but I have a few questions for Nye first. But basically about this ambitious 20-year-old. Well, actually, no, unambitious 20-year-old. Unambitious. Yeah. Had ambition. It was lost. Working at Starbucks. Not to talk to you about Starbucks worker, but he was working at Starbucks. Been there longer than a lot of his peers felt he should have, probably because of that unambitious. A Black man. And one day he was serving up some coffee and something changed. He had a special customer that this interaction happened and it just kind of changed everything. He just ended up from barista to leading this whole sales company, getting in trouble with the law a little bit. There's a lot of racial tension, and it's a really amazing book. There's a lot to the story. I was reading this, Naya, and I was like I tried not to look up anything about the book or about the author. I did not know whether or not this was an autobiography or a story.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. Amazing book. I feel like this should be required reading for real, because this changed my perspective on sales as well. Because most of my life I've been like anti-sales. I'm not going to do it. I don't like it. So grimy. It's disgusting. All this stuff. And... yeah, it's wild, but this changed my perspective on what it actually is and helped me to realize that I've just been in toxic work environments. So to start things off, Naya, I'm kind of curious, because you're working in sales now, but you've had experience in this world. You've been selling. So can you tell us about your first experience in the role of sales?
Oh, I mean, if you want to get really corny with it.
Let's get corny.
I would say my first experience with sales was in the Girl Scouts.
Like, okay. That's real. That's real.
You know, and interesting enough, when I started in the Girl Scouts, some of the things they tell you is not to go door to door and stuff like that, right? I didn't follow those rules, right? Because I wasn't the kid that listened to. Wasn't supposed to go door to door, and I'm assuming if you went door to door, supposed to go with your parents. Neither of those things happened, okay? Neither. So that's why I would say my first thing is, you know, being a Girl Scouts, going door to door, slaying cookies. You know what I mean? Like, y'all have bodies.
Not that I'm an ambassador for Girl Scouts, but shout out to them for trying to make sure their Girl Scouts didn't get abducted.
I went with my brother, my younger brother, you know.
Younger brother.
My parents were like, I'm going to go out. Go together. So we used to go in the neighborhood and sell, door to door. Hey, I have cookies. Would you like to buy them? Do you like them? I'm smiling. I'm cute, right? Buy my cookies. Every kid, I would say sales was, I didn't realize that was sales, right? I was just thinking about my next patch. You know, I was thinking about what I could do with the money at 7-Eleven with my brother, getting all of the snacks back when like gum was, it's not sound like super old, but back when gum was like only 25 cents, you can buy a dollar slushy.
I'm not that much older. Gum was 25 cents back then. Oh,
inflation a little quick. Okay. Inflation happened fast. But just thinking about that, even sales kind of continued after I got out the Girl Scout. My brother and I would do like drawing contests and then go door to door to sell it, end up shop in front of my house selling things. So sales, yeah, was always around, but didn't realize that was what I was doing. And then, of course, as an adult, I would say I began really selling when I started my business.
Mm. Okay. So, man, that's why I didn't know. I have breaking the Girl Scout rules. Like, I'm not doing it.
Last spot, my first job with that RV from. Mm-hmm. Learning how to sell with the extra, the larger drink.
What do you think is like one of your most memorable experiences in sales, whether it's at Girl Scout Cookies or, you know, at Land of the Meat at Arby's? What's their slogan? We got the meats. And, you know, from your business and what you're doing now, is there any like memorable moment where you're like, oh, I could do this, I'm feeling this, or more so like, man, this ain't for me. Any like memorable moments?
Okay, this ain't for me moment was when, you know, when I used to sell cable in Walmart when I was in grad school. And I remember going up to different people in Walmart and, you know, of course everybody's going in. Some people go in to get out, you know, they're coming in pajamas or they're just trying to not get sold to in Walmart, you know? And I will never forget this guy was, we were by the frozen aisle and it was the aisle of frozen goods and our table was set up and I was kind of being trained. So they're like, hey, you know, you need to go speak to this person. Everybody I walked by here, you need to speak to them and let them know we're selling cable, right? So I went up to Dice, excuse me, sir. And like, he kind of turns his head. So I'm like, oh, like they just didn't hear me. That's a little nuts. He just didn't hear me. Excuse me, sir. Leave the fuck alone. I was like, okay. Enjoy your day, sir. Enjoy your day at Walmart. Oh.
No.
So that was, you know, I was like, oh, this ain't for me. And I quickly thought to myself, like, how am I going to find another job? You know, sales generally is a commission type job where they'll give you your base and then commission. My base was very low. And I remember telling myself, like, nobody wants to buy cable in Walmart. Like, I don't want to buy cable or internet or upsize my sports package in Walmart. It's just, and, you know, we were outside sales, so we would go to different Walmarts to set up shop and sell. And, you know, people, I really don't understand how my coworkers were doing it, like, for so long. Like, how are you paying your bills? And I think there is a little bit of, like, sleaziness that's that was added to, you know, what I did, I know, at Walmart. You know, they would tell us stuff like you have to, even if they don't need it, push it. Like those type of conversations, and it never sat well with me. That would be like the freshest memory in my mind, is going to different Walmarts and trying to sell internet and cable. Mm. And getting stuff out.
They're still out there too. They're still out there. We got the cable, the Verizon, AT&T.
Yeah. Yeah. The soap today.
That's funny. I almost did that actually as well when I first got out of college. These companies are really good at really good at sales, I guess, in a way, or selling people to try this out, really. Because it was like positioned as like a marketing specialist role type of thing, helping brands get in touch with their ideal audience, all this stuff, representing in these global brands. It sounds amazing for a college student. That's why you're doing this in grad school.
You know, marketing activations for these large brands.
I remember getting an email about it once. I did get an email about it once while I was in college, but someone else did, and they actually signed on. So we're all like, oh my gosh, she got a job before she graduated. She's good when she gets out. But yeah, it's just like that. That's funny. My experience was moving to Atlanta, moved down to Atlanta without a job, because I had been interviewing while I was in Charlotte, trying to find jobs in Atlanta. I was getting interviews and stuff. I was like, man, this probably will get a lot smoother from there, because I could tell when people were like, where are you? I was like, oh, yeah, I'm moving to Atlanta. Even though I said I'm moving, it just didn't hit the same as someone who's already here. So moved down. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll definitely find jobs. I'm really, this will always be memorable to me for a lot of reasons, but I had passed up a final interview spot with Calendly, because it was at the same time as this exam thing I was doing for this sales position that wasn't presented as a sales position. It was presented as like a benefits coordinator, like a specialist in insurance, helping people who want these services, who signed up for them, to get them. That's how it was presented to me. And basically ended up knocking on doors at 8 p.m., calling people nonstop. I'll never forget, I was calling someone, and like this guy's wife was answering the phone and stuff. And it's like, oh, he's not here, all this stuff. And she sounded like, I was like, okay, yeah, I guess they do want it. And then finally one day I called and was the guy. He's like, oh my God, y'all been calling nonstop. Get off my, yeah, all this stuff. So it's like, it's super weird. Like they had us like at night pulling up to people's houses, like they're trying to get a shot. We're in the South, and yeah, it was just super, super grimy, super grimy. Yeah, that was my the same for me moment, the same for me. So, for you, so when thinking about this book, kind of coming back to this, there's a lot of elements in it. I don't believe in spoilers, but there are going to be a few spoilers in this episode. But another element from this book, like, just changed my perspective on sales, was also just the idea of community and what it means to really create that at your workplace. So I know now you've been in several different work environments, and community could look different from being the only Black person, the only woman, the only one of something is kind of crazy. So, but it doesn't always have to be based on your identity either. So just kind of curious, in your perspective, what does community at a workplace look like to you?
I don't know. I think it depends, like you mentioned, all the different environments that you're in. I know when it came to working and selling cable and internet at Walmart, it looked like people that were just in the trenches with me, other students, just trying to get out their mom's house or trying to figure out how to pay for school. So we all, related in that sense, right? And so everybody kind of looked out for each other, and there was a level of like, all right, even though this might be a better seller than me, I'm going to let her try to, go up to bat, because I know that she has a bill coming up, and I'm going to let her, get that bill paid, essentially.
Collaborative.
And I would find, say that has not been the case in every sales environment that I've been in. Been very cutthroat. I've heard people say stuff like, you know, this is the shark, kind of like a shark tank, and that you eat what you kill. And so I've been in two types of environments. So communities have looked like that. It's also looked in spaces where there weren't that many Black people, women of color. It looked like, hey, we kind of like the head nod across the world, all BIPOC, Black and people of color kind of linking up and sharing the knowledge that they learned along the way in order to, you know, especially pay for the things they need.
The head nod from across the room is real. So it's almost like y'all know we're there, but it's almost like at the same time, not really seen together in a way, huh? Well, I think communities, they, it's you've heard of employee resource groups? Like ERG. Yeah. So it's something that a lot of corporate, well, not a lot, I would say, but yeah, I've seen it at in the corporate spaces. And there was this one smaller business we tried to implement it in. And then layoffs happened. Everyone who was in that group, was most of them were laid off except for me and two other people. Wow. Crazy, right? That's just the crazy thing about, you know, inclusion and diversity and stuff like that. When it comes to layoffs, it's like, oh, maybe percentage wise it was fair, but when you actually look at who was left, it's like, oh, you just really wiped that whole group of, you know, Black, brown, just people just by themselves, just out here, like, man, there goes our support group. But yeah,
I was gonna say, now that I think about it, one of the agencies that was at ad agency, we had like a group called Ad Queens. So very similar group, support group.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually for those listening, employee resource groups, if you're at a corporation, if you're interviewing for a job or something like that, that's something to ask about or maybe implement when you're in there, because it is a common thing in corporations to have pockets of communities just to kind of support each other, kind of be there, because we all know about the nuances of being a Black person in all white space. But it's not just that. It could be based on gender. It could be kind of where you're from. It could be a lot of different things. It's basically this group you kind of come together to discuss. It's almost like a student organization at a college, where like the college, they know about it. There might be like a teacher, staff, faculty liaison person to, not to say they have to be there, but it's like something that's known, but usually we create them in secret in a group chat and stuff. But these groups are kind of cool because it's supposed to be part of a journey towards inclusive environment. So you kind of report back and represent this group of people as well. So it's a great thing to implement. If they don't have it at your job, ask about it. If you feel comfortable asking about it, if they're not trying to do it, that says a lot. It says a lot, because it's not, I mean, there's no money necessarily that has to go into it. It's just something that should be done. But yeah, communities, they take a lot. They take a lot. It's not just something you should be like, oh yeah, we have a community, because that kind of dies down. It takes a lot of intention and focus. And as we talk about intention and focus and things like that, I want to talk about this other resources tool I've been using to kind of stay sharp and focused. It's this energy shot called Magic Mind. They're sponsoring this episode, and I'm glad they are, because I'm actually like literally using them as a replacement to coffee, because I personally do not like drinking 2 to 3 cups of coffee daily just to make up for the drop in energy I feel after that first cup wore off. So this drink called Magic Mind is really tiny, like small drink, like it's like smaller than my phone. It's just shot, you just shake it open. I like to like, you know, like some fine wine, I like to let it air a little bit before I take my shot. But it's something you take either as a substitute or with coffee or like caffeinated tea or something like that. It's all natural ingredients. Matter of fact, I looked it up. I think there's like 13. It's this matcha-based drink. It has things like turmeric. It has some lion's mane mushroom. It's I don't know if it's 100% plant-based, but it's kind of cool because it's a plant-based product. And when I drink, it actually feel a sense of focused. So it's really helpful in the mornings, because the morning for me, it takes a long time for me to get started. That's why I drink coffee, to kind of get activated real quick. But coffee's just too strong. It's just too much. It's just too much. And I had that crash afterwards. So I've been using this drink to kind of help with just energy and kind of keeping me calm as I get ramped up and I feel it throughout the day. So like I said, they're sponsoring this episode. So if you're like me, don't necessarily want to be dependent on coffee, get addicted, I recommend you try it. You go to magicmind.com/boss, B-O-S-S, boss. You could get 56% off your subscription as well with the code BOSS20. But definitely go to magicmind.com/boss. That's magicmind.com/boss, B-O-S-S. You can get 56% off your whole subscription. That's like, which is kind of cool. You get like a 30-day pack. 30-day pack, which is really cool. Or you get 20% off a one-time purchase with that code. Works if you're already a subscriber as well. So if you're already onto it, I'm new to this thing. If you're already onto it, it still counts as your next subscription payment. Check it out. Highly recommend it. MagicMind.com/boss. All right. And let's get into some ads. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about some favorite moments from this book, Black Buck. It's a book that I'm adding on to a list that I'm thinking about creating called The Banned Book List, because this is a book that they wouldn't want you to read in Florida or anything like that. All right, before we get too deep into this episode, I got to tell you about The Growth Club. It's a private community I'm launching, and I'm hosting it on Patreon, basically because it's super familiar to everybody. If you don't know about it, Patreon is a tool that I decided to test out. It basically allows me to have a private membership where I could give y'all first access, behind the scenes content, and also put you in the host seat, which is something new I'm experimenting with, which basically allows you to send in questions that I will ask my guests. Meaning that you get to know about who's coming on the show, who I'm having conversations with before anybody else. And I'm doing something a little different. It goes against best practices. People don't advise to do this, but I'm creating a lifetime membership for the first 50 people who sign up. So for the founding 50, y'all get access to everything I'm doing forever. Even as we add in more tiers and exclusive opportunities, you will always have access to it, and just for $5 a month forever. First 50 people sign up, get it for $5 a month. The Growth Club, just visit patreon.com/thegrowthclub. That's patreon.com/thegrowthclub. You get everything, you get access to all the stuff we're creating. You get to be a part of the private conversations that influence the larger public conversations. So appreciate y'all. Very big on building with the people who are around you right now. So I'm doing this because I believe in community and I appreciate y'all. Check it out. patreon.com/thegrowthclub. All right, let's get back to this episode. All right, we're back, y'all. It's time to get into this book, Black Buck, a novel by Matteo. Don't know how to pronounce his last name, Oscar Rapoport. But incredible book. I'm actually going to look up how to spell it because all names deserve respect. And he definitely deserves respect for putting this book together. I was looking up some reviews about it, and it's kind of interesting. So this book, when people are talking about it, they're like, it's like a mix of like Sorry to Bother You and The Wolf of Wall Street. It's this satirical novel about a young black man who gets a shot as the stardom lone black salesman at a mysterious cult like and wildly successful startup. Nothing seems that it is. Okay, not yet. Yep, you got the cover up. See, that's cool. Did you get the book and the audiobook, or you just went and got the audiobook?
Just the audiobook. My Lord.
Okay, gotcha. That's why I was so shocked, because you were like, I read it already. You know, it's like less than a week since I had told you about it. Yeah. So, Naya, you had hit me up. You said you loved it, and I was like, let's do a podcast episode about it. So, this is the first time we've spoken about this. Give me your thoughts. What are you feeling? What are you thinking? How'd you feel about this book?
There's so many takeaways from the book. And honestly, you know, as you mentioned, I'm working in a sales position now. And so I literally just kind of all of you, right? Listening to this book at work, okay? Had me irritable, had me excited, had me, I was crying. I cried. Like, not like, oh, but you know, like some tears.
A little snot dripping.
Yes. Just, you said what?
A little snot dripping, you know, that happens when you really feel it. This didn't bring the snot out of you?
Not the snot, but the mercy tear, the eye roll, you know?
Self tear. All right, that's how we're gonna do our books. Like, instead of like on what's that thing, Rotten Tomatoes, instead of like the Five Tomatoes, gonna be like, did it give you the mercy tear? Did it give you the little snot bubble? How much did it hit you?
Like, yeah, man, and to your point earlier, I couldn't tell if this book was like his experience that he just kind of remixed, or if this is like all, a fiction novel, essentially. Oh my gosh. The book was just really well written. I like how he started off by saying that he was in this penthouse in the beginning of the book, when he's like, yeah, I'm writing this book from the penthouse. I'm like, okay, seals. I'm at work, you guys. So like, okay, this is where I could be. Like, okay, you just, all right, this is a success story, you know? And then as the book goes on, you're like, oh, shit. Shoot. Oh, no. Like, some of my takeaways just in the beginning of the book was the fact that he came out of high school as a valedictorian. And, you know, so many people had in his neighborhood had such big hopes for him. And he found himself, you know, living with his mom. And they owned, in very much New York fashion, they owned a duplex. And, you know, he and his mom lived together and had some tenants that had been with him since before he was born, essentially. So everybody had high hopes. That's what I kept hearing throughout the book. Like, everybody had such positivity and well wishes for this young man. And he ended up, after high school, being at, like you said, a Starbucks, and he called himself the head nigga, head H, what is it, H,
H-N-I-C, H-A-R,
head negro in charge. And I of course got a kick out of that, like, okay, you know, if every environment that exists, right?
So right.
He still had pride within, you know, within the job that he was doing, which I appreciated. He was still selling, you know, and he knew that coffee well. Like, he could tell if it was burnt, what kind of, like, where it came from. And to me, the takeaway from that was, like, even though he wasn't where he necessarily wanted to be or thought he could be, he took pride of what he did. And it didn't matter that he was selling coffee. Like, It was still like, okay, I know what you need. I think that says a lot, because essentially it doesn't matter where you are, you can sell yourself. You can, whether you're an entrepreneur or working for someone else, it's all about just having the wits and the grind to do so. So that was like my first takeaway. The other thing was,
I'll stop there real quick, because that is such a pro tip. And y'all, throughout this book, like, this is a sales novel, like how to sell, but it's actually a story. And what he does is, like, different moments, he'll like put a little like asterisk annotation thing where he's like, yo, this right here, sales lesson, do this, blah, 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 blah. I don't think that was in the book. I think that was like, I don't know how it sounded in the audiobook, but in the hardcover or softcover, whatever, there'd be like little moments where it's like, in bold text and kind of is, yeah. So, but I don't know if that was one of the takeaways he noted or not. I might have missed it, but that's such a good, viable lesson. Maybe like the most important thing in this book is like that pride, that kind of mastery of knowledge and selling yourself, even if you don't even like where you are. Like taking Starbucks out the example, let's say you were at Wendy's even. Like, you could still, it could be the same type of thing. Like, just having this mastery over the menu, the customer service, and the sales part of it too, and just being yourself. Because like this book, it wasn't that he became a salesman once he got into this other organization. He was already doing it, like he said, he just didn't know it. And is your next takeaway, does it come after you already started working at the place?
No, actually.
Let me tee it up, because I have it here, then I want to hear what you have to say. So I'm going to read this part of this book, because I thought you might have this as one of your notes too. So this is the moment, y'all, where his life really changed for him. There was a regular customer that came in. He knew his order, always ordered the same thing. But Buck did something different, all right? So the guy comes in, into Starbucks, you know. He walks in, he's like, hey. He puts his order in. Says, hey, vanilla sweet cream cold brew, like always. You remember, right? By now, the last of the morning customers had grabbed their drinks, and it was just us at the counter. And Buck says, I don't think you want that today. I didn't know why my heart was fiercely beating against my ribs, but looking back on it, I realized my body must have known that this was a pivotal moment in my life, that these supernatural turns of fate are rare. And this is one of the whole, like, the author puts in a little note like, yo, check this out. He says, what you're about to see is what happens when intuition overrides logic, which is the mark of any salesperson worth their salt. People buy based on emotion and justify with reason. Watch. And then he goes, I don't want to give the rest away, because even this moment is like such a good, like, oh, you have to read it, and I don't want to take away from it. But this moment where he basically was like, you don't want this, here's what you want. I was like, what the fuck? Like, yo, really good. All right, go ahead, Naya.
No.
Also, but by the way, one quick thing. Y'all, that was my pitch to audition for any voice acting. Put me on, hire me, put me in the booth. I got this. I got the mics. I'm ready. All right, sorry, go ahead.
No, I love it. So, though, that was the next part that, like, hit me, honestly, because there's been so many times, especially as an entrepreneur, where you're not really sure, like, how to push the needle. You're almost like, no, they already said no, so, or they're already not interested, essentially. And what you'll learn in sales is that how to navigate through objections. The first no doesn't necessarily mean no, right? It can mean that they have something on their mind. It can mean that no. It can be a multitude of things, right? Maybe the person that generally makes some decisions isn't with them. So there's different ways that you're taught to get through objections. And I think in this specific part, my takeaway was he was scared. He was scared. Like, he's like, I don't even know what's coming up like on me right now, but I'm going to push this so that he can get this other drink, right? And I think about the times where I've been on a phone call, or I've tried to sell someone on, you know, podcast production, sales, whatever. And I had that weird feeling in the pit of my stomach, like, retreat, like, what do you mean? And my mind tells me, no, keep going, you know, or like lean in a little bit, listen to what they're saying. In sales, I think that's important, because none of it necessarily feels good, you know? So it's like learning when to push through the objection, because you think the session would be better off on the other side.
Okay, that's an interesting kind of observation or acknowledgement that sales doesn't usually feel good, or it doesn't always feel good. And I think that could really depend on the type of environment you're in, and if you actually are, you know, like what you're selling as well. But can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I think for a lot of people, me and self included, it's that feels good, like, I don't like how this feels, and I sometimes avoid it because it's like, oh, this feels kind of grimy, or maybe it's like, I don't even feel confident doing this, not for any terrible traumatic reason. It's just like, I don't want to push something that this person might not want to buy. But you're talking the top right now. Can you keep this going?
Well, I've always been told that in marketing that most times people don't know what they want. And so thinking about my iPhone and Apple products, you asked people years ago, they would have told you, no, I don't need that. Why do I need my phone to be those that many things? Like, I don't want to be attached to my phone. And Steve Jobs, of course, thought otherwise. Right? Like, it's telling you what you need. And then eventually you'll realize your life is so much better with this product and or service. And so they're the level of, I think, when you're pushing, especially something new, in this book, he was at a startup. So essentially you're introducing something new to a market that otherwise wouldn't have known existed or wouldn't have known that they needed this product. And so that feeling, I think for me, is like you're calling, you're cold calling someone or you're cold emailing someone. You're thinking to yourself, if this was me on the other end, I would be annoyed. Or if this was me on the other end, why I'm asking myself, why are you calling me so many times? And you realize like all those no's that you're getting is like one step closer to your yes. Like sales is all about numbers, a numbers game. And so that feeling that I get when it's like, oh, another no, or oh, they sounded annoyed, or even though they reached out to me and I'm calling them back and they're sounding annoyed on the phone, like, bro, you asked, call me. Like, I get this. I've had that happen recently. And I was just following up. The guy was like, I'm busy right now. Okay, whatever. My call is.
So let me ask you about that. So, because I've heard that before, like every no leads to a yes, and it makes sense, but it's also like, but it's also a no. But I guess it's about, like you said, repetition and a numbers thing. Is it just like there's a percentage, like a percentage thing, like it, with this many no's, you should get this many yeses? Like, is this like a checklist? Like, you're not going to get your yes until you hit like 30 no's or something like that? Like, what is this? Every no brings you closer to a yes thing.
Yeah, so essentially every salesperson has their ratio, right? So if I reach out to 10 people, three people are generally going to say yes to me. And that's all a matter of you like making note of the things that you're doing every day, right? So like if you're walking in purpose, you know that you're doing everything with intention. And so that's even in the sales world, right? Like, all right, I have this job. This is where I'm at right now. I'm going to be very intentional with my time while I'm here. And so you'll notice after a while, if you're keeping track of the number of emails you're sending out or the number of calls, that, hey, I did 50 calls, five of those people say yes. So then you can start saying, okay, once I get to lot 50, I know I'm gonna get, I'm at least gotten 3 to 5 people to tell me yes. And so it becomes like a game for yourself as you're making those calls. Now, when you're new, sometimes it's really hard to get that rhythm. So it takes a while. But once you get into the rhythm, you'll start noticing some patterns. So that's getting you closer to your yes. So that means it's just math, ratios, and numbers game, everything.
You know, we tell people like, oh, half of this math you learn, you won't need when you are in the real world, but this math keeps popping up.
Yes. Even if, this is going to sound important, but if you think about, I know when I was in school, like dudes would stand outside of the mall and like try to holler at every girl that walked by to see which one said yes. It's a numbers game, right? Your game ain't that good. It really is a numbers game.
Right. Oh man, that's hilarious. Yo, you know what? Okay. That's such a perfect example, 'cause it also transitions to another moment of this book. And it's kind of a spoiler, y'all. So if you definitely want to read this book, you don't want any spoilers. I don't want to give too much away, but just stop right now. Or actually finish this episode but on mute and go find this book. So I love when he got to this position where he's, top dog and And I was like, yo, I kind of want to put some other people on. And this is a black person, so he's like, I want to put my people on. I want to help them because they're not getting the same advantages. He saw that when he got into the sales role that a lot of these people, they came in already with tons of relationships with top people because of, you know, some nepotism, like my dad does golf and this person's uncle type of thing. A lot of black people, you know, one, I don't know a lot of black people that play golf. They're out here and it's growing, you know, whole community there. Shout out to the black golfers. But the dads and the uncles and the friends and the cousins, none of them are like leading some large corporation as of right now. So the starting point is not the same. So he went out of his way to secretly start coaching other people. And the way he did it wasn't just like, this is the sales principle. He put them out on the streets doing the most wildest, craziest stuff. Some stuff you get you locked up, like dining and ditching and stuff like that. It reminded me of the story you were just sharing about people trying to pick up girls at the mall or something like that. It's basically that, but times 1,000 infinity. Yeah, that I love that because it was taking like some real world scenarios and kind of highlighting that this is sales in a sense. Even if you don't look at it, you just have to keep it trying. You might fail. You probably are gonna fail a bunch, but you might. It's just all that, I guess, a muscle. You kind of get stronger each time you do it. So I guess every no is almost like you at the gym. You're like lifting, like your arms are shaking right now with some spaghetti noodle stuff. But then the next time you go up, you do a little better. A little better to the point that you're at a bodybuilding competition, buttered in oil and stuff like that. You know, might not take gold, but you'll hit bronze. You'll get bronze for sure.
Yeah, so I like that analogy. That's funny. That is.
Thank you.
You mentioned something that's like out to be one nepotism, right? The company that I'm working at currently. There's someone that Carrot works at the company and they're higher up. And so they have access to things that other salespeople don't have access to because of their parent. They also get, you know, a lot more love on the sales floor because their parent is there. And, you know, most times people will be upset about that, right? Like, hey, like, you know, especially because a lot of my higher ups, they praise this person. Like, oh, you guys need to be more like such and such, bringing in, you know, $500,000 contracts and whatnot. And it's funny because a senior AE who's also an AE of color told me, Naya, you cannot compare yourself to this person. Like, their parents, literally, like, you're not. They're getting coached and given resources that you're not getting, you know? So, you know, at first you want to be bitter about it. Like, you know, it's not fair, blah, blah, blah. But essentially, like in the book, he even the playing field by being that leg up for so many people of color in the sales, industry. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. To your point earlier about community, you just need to be able to tap in to your community to get that leg up. And hopefully there is a community that exists because in some cases you have to create it yourself. But finding those other people that are going to give you some resources, give you some tips, I think it's important. So that's the first thing. If my dad worked at a company, I would want him to give me some extra resources too.
You know, I want to hear about your second thing too, but you just inspired something as well. See, will you remember your second thing?
Yes, I got it written down.
Okay. So that first thing was really, really cool because I've been just learning more about, you know, history is an interesting thing, right? Because you learn back to history, see how everything, like why today is what it is today. And, you know, every black person listening, watching, you already know what it's like being black. But a lot of people are just learning about what it's like being black in America in a system where there is a community built for specific people to be a part of that community. And I've been seeing a lot of people have discussions about like government dependencies and stuff and policies and who's responsible, who should be doing what. And it's this whole conversation at large, like when the whole, like everyone was talking about white privilege, a lot of people were like, what privilege? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm struggling too. And there's a reality to that as well. It's not all blanketed. And there's been a lot of conversation now. Some people are like, these policies for black people are actually hurting us, get out of our way, stop helping us. And I don't particularly agree with that. I think it's like a multiple approach type of thing, but there's more conversations about us being responsible for getting ourselves out of this situation because we shouldn't depend on it, not because there isn't an accountability aspect there or, you know, responsibility because of the harm that they cause, but more so because we shouldn't wait and rely on it. Like, yeah, let's keep that going, but let's also do this as well. And so when you're talking about, you know, you and your own experience seeing someone who is coming in with a lot more privilege, and you're someone who doesn't have that access to the same resources, how can you tap into your own community to make sure that you are able to kind of continue to grow the way you should be growing, leveraging a community that's usually left out of the opportunity?
Well, honestly, so I know this is not for everyone, right? So in the book, Buck didn't go to college, right? But I found that, you know, I went to an HBCU with a FAMU.
Shout out to FAMU.
And what I've noticed, and I feel like I've started taking advantage of it more in my later years than when I first got out of school. But tapping into your alma mater has been like super helpful for me. Even while being at this company now, reaching out on LinkedIn and being like, look, and just telling them the real, hey, I'm connecting with you. This is, everyone loves a mission. Everyone loves somebody that has a mission, a goal. Well, they want it. It's something that they can want to relate to and kind of see like some movement. So conversations I've been having behind closed doors have been, look, I was hired at this company and there's not that many people that look like me. I know that I am likely a diversity hire. And, you know, people aren't expecting much from me in this environment, even though I've excelled in other environments. This is what I want to do. I want to bring Black and Brown entrepreneurs into this space and let people know, one, that we make money, which you know, but we can spend it on all any businesses. We can reinvest, right? So that's the first conversation I'm having with entrepreneurs. The other piece is, or no, gatekeepers. The other piece is having the conversation that like, look, I need to show that I can make things happen on this floor being a person of color. So what does that look like with you supporting me? If you can't buy something, can you send me to someone that will or manage my service? And I think a lot of times we're afraid to be that bold, let people know, like, look, it's, you know, because you think, like, oh, I don't want any handouts, blah, 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 blah. But that is the playing field. Like, if you understand the game, that is the playing field. It's just about who you know. So for me, it's been, let me tap into the community that I'm already in. Like, how do I tap in, let them know what my experience is, let them know what my mission is and see if they can help. So that's, I think, and I hope I didn't go too far off. But
that was beautiful.
It's important to kind of like put your pride aside and just let people know what's going on. So that's been my thing. But the second point that you said for me not to forget that I wanted to bring up was how Buck got his name Buck.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And without being giving too much of a spoiler, he was named after, of course, if you guys are familiar with like horses, he was named after a horse, essentially. And when you break a horse, right, like usually they'll buck, they'll keep like kicking back, right, the fight. But there's a time in which you can break a horse where they become trained and they'll follow in the way that you need them to go. And so there's a point in the book where Mr. Periods go, there you go. Like when he bucks, he breaks down and starts climbing, right? And the guy looks at him like in defeat. I think after that, that's when he became a little brainwashed and his family is like, what is going on with you? But there's a level of that, I think, in every environment as a person of color. You know, as we like working while Black, we put on our little shell to go into work, and that's them getting us in line. I don't know, like in sales environment, I find that is so true. They break you down, throw all types of things towards you, and to see if you can make it or take it in the environment. And so, I've noticed that's something I've gone through. But more than anything, it's a mental game in these environments. I think that's where my overall takeaway from this is mental. How mentally strong can you be in the environment? Keep going. Regardless of you getting your nose, your not getting lack of support, feeling defeated within yourself, not recognizing yourself because you're changing. I think around that time that made me cry. That was cry when you cry. Yeah, I finally broke you because I felt like that in the office. Like, yeah, y'all broke me. Y'all broke me.
Those are two really good takeaways. Yeah, this book, you know, when I was reading that first part earlier when I was talking about the at Starbucks when change the order up, I was like, I almost wanted to keep reading. And when you mentioned that right there, I was like, oh, I gotta go back to that part and read again. So I can see this as a book that I reread, actually, because man, this story is unbelievable. Like I think part of, and like in my adult life, I haven't read as much as I did when I was younger. There was times when I was younger, like I would like avoid calls from my friend because I was like, nah, I want to read this book right now. I did hang out with people, but you know, when you got a good book, you got a good book. And this book kind of brought me back to that, where like I just wanted to sit down and read this. I finished it. I noticed I read more when I'm like on a vacation or like a long break or something like that. I'll read, and this book kind of brought me back to that. So yeah, I might have to go back and reread this thing, because that story there, that moment, I forgot about that. Okay, so this has been really dope. But like, I feel like we could keep going because there's a lot to this. Highly recommend everyone read this book. I think I might have like a live event that talks more about sales and what it really means, changing your perspective on it. Because I think like even if you're not in a sales position, this book, there was just a lot to it that I was like, yo, this actually could benefit me in other areas. So appreciate you for hopping on to do this, Naya. Before we go, though, kind of curious, there's one other question for you. This is a new kind of theme in the Working While Black thing. So this is the teaser for what's going to come in the series. But do you have any cheat codes for career growth for people working while Black?
Cheat codes. Find community. That's going to be really, really important. Find the people that rock with you. The other piece I would say is stay mentally strong. Never take anything personal. Regardless if it was meant to cut you. Rules that, in the sense that, something I always think of when I know I'm in that environment, I'm Black, so, and I know that they said that to be rude or whatever, that says more about them than it says about me. it's not what they call you, it's what you respond to. And so sometimes when they it seems like they're laughing at you, I get joy in knowing that they sound foolish. But you know, a lot of times these people don't know who you are, where you come from, or any of those things. And so when you're in those environments where it's really trying, remember who you are. Just remember who you are. Don't allow other people to define you. Older, I was saying my two.
That's dope.
Yeah. I like that. I love if I could, like, remember who you are, because I always come back to Black Panther. It's like, show them who you are. That's like, it's just going to live in my head forever, rent free. I was going to think about that. That's dope. I like that. Thank you, Naya. How can everyone follow you, support you on your journey? And, like, what all do you have going on? Like, we didn't really talk about the world of you as much, but now that we kind of get a sense to know who you are and everything, from, you know, breaking the rule that Girl Scout Inc. to, you know, finding that community, leveraging your relationship, or not even leveraging, but just building relationships with your alma mater, your HBCU community. But yeah, what do you have going on? What should we look out for, and how can we be a support system for you?
Well, a few ways. One, you guys, this sounds always so corny, but the best way to get in contact with me is on social media. So on Instagram or on LinkedIn. So on LinkedIn, it's Naya Peoples. Send me a message, connect, let me know things that you're going through within sales or just in your workforce altogether. I love I would love to connect with you. And then on Instagram, you can follow me at Naya Bianca. That's N as in Nancy, Y-A, Bianca, B-I-A-N-C-A _. And just connect with me. Just let me know what you got going on. Right now, I think that's my biggest thing, is build a community. And so that's how you can connect with me. I'm trying to build a community currently within the podcast space, but also with entrepreneurs and business owners. So, yeah, connect with me that way.
You know, I got a cheat code, and it's inspired by Naya. It's be corny. Be corny. Whether you're telling people to, you know, follow you on social media, or you're on a red carpet and, you know, you're Michael B. Jordan, you say, yo, you used to call me corny, right? Yo, be corny. It works. No, but like, that's real. I think it's important. Like, cause I think sometimes I'm resistant to do something like that. Like, I don't know. It kind of seems corny. But I was listening to, Wallow. He has a series called Where's Wallow? Wallow's from $1 Million Worth of Game. I think that's an important series for everyone to follow, whether you like it or not, just kind of watch what they're doing. But he has a sub-series called Where's Wallow, and he was on with Gary Vee, and they were both talking about doing the things that were kind of lame or corny. He was talking about when he got out of jail and came home, people would call his phone because it'd be like, yo, I seen you running around doing videos, like literally running and doing videos, and it looks corny. It really is probably a definition of corny and lame, but man, the results, the output, it worked. Gary be the same thing. He would, like, instead of going to a party, he would get excited about going to a mall to sell baseball cards or something like that as a kid. Man, corny works sometimes. Corny works. Just don't. I don't know. I was about to say don't be lame, but even that, it's all perspective. So, yeah, be corny, be lame. You might lose friends. But if it works for you, it works for you. All right. Thank you for joining, Naya. Appreciate you. Check her out. She also has a lot of different live stuff and series puts on for the community, especially podcasters, but she's a good resource. So excited to have you on. She will be back because there's another book that she read. This one she finished before me. So we're going to talk about it. It's called 10X is Greater Than 2X, but we'll get into that later. Black Buck, I'm putting this on the banned book list for the band book club that we're starting, I guess. But yeah, take care, follow, appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
All right, that is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please give us a review, rate us on Spotify, share your thoughts with us on Apple Podcasts. These ratings actually do help when people are considering what show they're going to listen to. And you know what? I'm trying to make a big, big, big splash in 2024. I've been on a hiatus for far too long. What was meant to be just a short 2-week break turned into a 2-year. Where are you, Walter? No one knows. Well, I have been working, have been cooking up a whole bunch of really great content, having tons of conversations. And because I'm a podcaster, I just record them all. I just haven't put them out. So 2024, we're bringing you all the episodes of conversations I've had with people. For my time during the LinkedIn Creator Accelerator program, speaking to people all around the world. I have an episode coming soon about the agricultural industry in Africa and all the, like, what's going on there. It's very, very interesting. I learned a lot. Basically, it's kind of a spoiler alert, but you'll learn more about when you actually listen to the episode, but all the opportunities that exist to influence agriculture in Africa. It's so cool. I'm so blessed to be in the position I'm in, and it's like things like that, they actually do come to me. The person who reached out to me, I was not familiar with them, but now we're just one WhatsApp message away. So I'm excited to share everything that I've been learning, all the conversations I've been having as I continue to learn about what new growth means for the Black community, learn about and hosting these cultural conversations with the people everywhere from the streets to Atlanta to people out in the UK who are working in Africa. I'm so excited. The next episode isn't that one. It's coming soon. It's going to be the next of the next of the next one. But you got to stay tuned. Got to stay plugged in. You click the link in the description. You'll be able to sign up for the newsletter. You learn all about what we got going on. I'm excited. Thank you for listening. And I will talk to you soon. Peace.